I want to do a quick review of Matthew chapter 13, 44 and 46. And as I was teaching at the prison today, I asked them to give me the elements of the parable. And they gave me some other factors. So I asked them about the elements that they saw. They saw the man, the treasure, the field. But then they also said, there's the hiding. So they added hiding to the list. And there's the joy. They added joy to the list as an element to the parable. And they added the stuff and the transaction. So I'm going to have to add that to this. And let me just kind of say that here. And let me add that. They added the following. They added hiding. They added joy. They added the stuff. And they added transaction. Now, I didn't think too much of it, but they started asking some questions. And we've already gone through this, so I'm just going to do a review. But they asked some questions on this that I thought was interesting, and I guess to describe it, how do I do this, so that they could understand we're walking and we see a treasure. And according to rabbinic law, you know, you had to purchase the field in order for you to own the treasure. The question came up. Can you pick up the treasure illegally or inappropriately and have the treasure but not really own it? And I'm like, why, yes. Because the parable is giving us those instructions on how to pick up and purchase the treasure appropriately. So when I walked through this thing, it started to connect. So you see a treasure in the ground, and you know that you can't just pick it up. You got to go through a transaction. And I also wrote 1 through 7, the feast things. And I said, so let me challenge you. As I walk through this parable, let me know if you see the feast, because this is just really blowing me away. Perspective and process is really what I see here. So, see a treasure. I think that this is better than what I currently have. So I'm walking in one direction and I see this treasure in the field, and instead of going in the direction that I was going, I want this treasure and I start to go this way because I'm going to the store or wherever I need to go to execute the transaction so that I can give what I have to get what I'm hoping for as I'm making my way. I love this. I might preach this. As I'm making my way to make the transaction, where am I in the feast levels?
Well, you've repented. You've turned and gone the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But can I ask a question? So I'll make sure I get this.
Yes.
Okay, so the treasure you have seen is salvation. Is that correct?
Could be, yes. But that salvation comes through what?
Jesus.
Jesus. So the treasure It's Christ. In my when I'm doing the you thing, that perspective, it's Jesus.
Okay, who are you going to the transaction?
I'm getting ready to make a transaction so that I can legally own. Looking at the press, so I can legally own this treasure, all right, that I have found.
So you're going to Jesus for that too?
Am I?
Is that the other part of us?
Okay.
To help you.
So let's okay. So let's follow the steps. Do I need this treasure?
Yes.
Humble.
Is it? Because I was going a different direction. Have I repented?
When you come.
Yes.
As I'm going, what step am I using?
Change your mind.
Hope.
I have hope that what I left here, that what I found here. As I'm walking to make this transaction at level 3, what else is with me? What is my attitude?
Joy.
Do I'm moving by faith. I'm walking by faith. Do I have the treasure yet? No. I have knowledge of the treasure. But I have not obtained the treasure yet. I'm moving by faith. And because that treasure gives me joy, gives me hope, I move by faith knowing that I will get something better on the way back. I make the transaction. What am I doing in the transaction?
Giving up of yourself.
I'm giving up of myself, and in return, I'm getting something else in return. Come on now. I'm giving up. I'm emptying myself, and God pours something else inside of me. I'm getting the Holy Spirit. I'm operating at level 4. Do I still have the treasure?
Not yet.
But I'm moving with through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm praising Him before I even get. And when I get Him, and I have Him, and He has me, and this is how the kingdom of heaven expands. This is how He gets more reign in us. And they're seeing this, and I'm like, man, this is just so awesome, because I didn't have the joy and the transaction and the stuff, and this is good. And now I'm able to share this
with others,
and it puts me right in here. And when I did that demonstration, and then the question was that I posed to them, can I pick up this treasure the wrong way?
Well, your attitude.
Yes.
See, here's the thing about the treasure. The treasure is immense.
Yes.
And you can't comprehend it. You can't take it all up at once.
Woo! 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 Talk to me about that.
Well, she was at the well. Jesus showed up. He spoke to her. She spoke back to him. They had a transaction. And as soon as she had the transaction, she took off running, telling everybody.
Absolutely. There you go. Those. And do you see the feast steps in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this is why what Roger said is so powerful. It is so immense. It is so big. It is so immense. It is so large. I can't take it all in one setting. So what do I need to do? Because I'm full now. And I'm still going to have to make room for this immenseness.
Take a little bit of time.
Go back. Make another transaction. Got to get rid of some more stuff. To make room.
Because we couldn't
to make room for the for this other new stuff that I'm finding in this field. And Deb, I got you. And as I look at this, I'm like, it is so immense. It is so immense. It is so large. But I got to keep going back to get... And one of the guys asked me, he said, can you describe again what the kingdom of heaven is? I've heard a lot of different definitions. I'm like, okay, well, you know, you're here in prison. Right? Look around the room. Do you see Jesus in this room? Yeah, I do. I got different races, I got different, you know, ages or whatever. I see Jesus in the room. Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, oh, great. Who is Jesus? Well, he's the Son of God. And who else is he? And eventually we got around to, he's the king. Well, if he's the king, and you see him in the room, kings have dominion. Mm-hmm. Kings start to reign. Mm-hmm. God's kingdom is starting to reign in the room. Then I said, in your life, was Jesus always your king?
No.
Is Jesus starting to rule in your life today? Yeah. He said, absolutely. I'm like, the kingdom of heaven is in you. And the process, it's a process. And that process is getting more and more of the volume of God in your life where he has more and more and more control.
Amen.
Let me get her for a second. I saw your hand.
When you were on your way the first time.
Yes.
You illegally obtained the treasure.
I legally obtained the treasure, yep.
But when you were over here, you said you hadn't got the treasure yet properly. But you said you obtained the Holy Spirit.
That's a good point.
How can we not have the treasure and get the Holy Spirit without
the treasure? Let's correct that. And you can thank Roger for that. Because here, step one, step two, make the transaction. Step three, I have him.
And now you have him.
And then I get the Holy Spirit. But Roger just saved my butt. All right, here we go. Because there's so much more.
Yes, there is.
So I'm going to go back again. And make another transaction. And I'm just going to keep growing and growing.
Right. Right. So your transactions are going back to keep repenting of sin that is still inside of you.
Well, you know what? If this worked the way that it should work, I should be able to make one transaction like he did. I should be able to make one transaction like my Savior did, and that he did it all for, you know, absolutely.
But he was without sin.
You still got sin. You in the world, so you got to go back.
He's got the new.
He didn't sin at all. He was in the world.
I don't need you telling me about me. All right. So, I know. I got to keep going to the well.
Sin.
Oh, there you go. I know. I got to keep going to the well.
Right. And also, don't we have a refilling of the Holy Spirit?
Jesus said, and I think it's John chapter 7, might be 14, that anybody who thirsts, I think it's 14, anybody who thirsts, come after me. Mm-hmm. And I will refresh you like
rivers
come out, which is representative of the Holy Spirit, which means you do get dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a refilling that happens.
And if you're getting dry out here at these later steps, okay, then how do I get refreshed?
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
And how do I get the power of the Holy Spirit in my life again? Go back step number one. I need. Susan?
Part of the transaction would be your cup runneth over and you're sharing.
All right, I don't have it up. That's the mercy piece. That's five. I'm leaking. I'm overflowing. Because the baptism is the immersion of the overflowing of the Holy Spirit. And so now all this stuff, all the wealth of this stuff or whatever, is just overflowing. And so I'm just full of it. Yeah, and it just rolls over on you.
You lost them, Chuck.
Yes.
But see, Chuck, to me, the closer we become, the closer we get to Jesus,
yes,
the more we have heart knowledge and we walk with Him closer and closer,
yes,
I think that's when more manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit come out.
The gifts start when we get it, but we see greater because it's perspective and process.
Right.
And I'm going through this process, because this is what the kingdom of heaven is. I'm going through this process where God gets more rain.
He gets the glory.
That's right. If your storage room is full of junk, you can got no room for the treasure.
There was a song. There was a song out there we used to sing in the corner.
Get rid of that junk.
Hit the road, Jack. I don't know. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my pain. I'm trading it all for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Same people.
Yeah.
The songs come alive when you understand the spirit behind it. Yeah, I'm trading. So I am trading to make room for His goodness.
What is the immense?
But we can't. We couldn't handle it if He did it with us all at once.
Oh no! It busts my head like a grape. It's like drinking through a fire. But God is too immense. So it's a process.
It might not be dumb.
Hey! It might not be dumb.
When you're way over here.
Well, I'm trying to understand what you just asked.
When you were haven't started walking to get your treasure.
No.
Well, we have to hear the Holy Spirit for the first time.
I told you.
That's
what I'm hearing.
The prompting.
You want to go see and get the treasure.
Somebody. So think about your own life.
He's working in
before that treasure. Before you recognize Christ as that treasure in your life. And you recognize a need. How did you come to Him? How did He come to you? I know how He came to me.
Yeah.
But that was a story.
So somebody, even before I even really heard the gospel for real, because I heard the gospel, but I wasn't in need of it. But then all of a sudden, I'm in a situation where I need something because something's not working.
Yeah.
I'm in dire straits. I'm the prodigal. I'm coming to myself, and I'm going, And then I'm recognizing something, and it's something I can't say it's in my spirit because my spirit is still dead because it's not alive to God. But something is prompting me because He stands at the door and knocks, and He's speaking to my dead spirit that's not quickened yet. And I'm finding out that, you know, what is this? So now I hear a word that gives me hope. When I take that hope and realize I need to change, my spirit is starting to come alive. Good question. I don't want to do this the wrong way. Let me stick to the Bible and not my perspective. Because that's how I got saved. Children of Israel. When did the cloud in the pillar of fire show up that was representative of the Holy Spirit? When did it show up?
When they were in the
Red Sea.
Before the Red Sea. What had happened when that pillar of fire showed up was representative of the Holy Spirit leading them?
They had escaped Egypt.
So they had already recognized and cried out about their need.
Right.
The lamb, they had already accepted the lamb. All right. And now they were in repent mode where they were leaving. All right. And repenting and leaving. All right. All that pain and sorrow. Holy Spirit shows up.
Right.
And starts to guide them. So here's what I want to tell you. Don't get confused with having the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, two different things.
Yes.
Absolutely.
They had the presence of God helping them, lead them to get through the next step, baptism. The fire protected them from what was trying to pull them back, and the cloud was leading them in the direction that they needed to go forward to complete step three. But they're moving with hope. When they cross the Red Sea, the pillar is still leading them, but it's leading them to a deeper filling, step four, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is a difference. I become alive at Passover and unleavened bread.
They didn't have the indwelling in the Old Testament.
No.
So.
But they had those instances or whatever where his spirit is being manifested or whatever. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Same thing in Acts 2. Those people are coming to church. Mm-hmm. They don't have the spirit. They're just coming to church. But they hear a word. And the word pricks their heart. And then they say, what must we do to be saved? So, faith comes by
hearing
the word of
God.
The first thing that speaks to you is the word of God. And when you're ready to surrender, man, your spirit becomes quickened. Because it was dead to hearing him before. So basically what you're saying is, I've been doing this on my own. This ain't working anymore. You're standing at the door and you're knocking. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to let you in. And why? My logical mind. I'm going to trust you according to your word, promises. I'm letting you in. What comes in? Jesus? And a measure of the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden your spirit becomes quickened. That's my understanding of this. That's what I'm seeing in the Bible. That's what these steps show me. That make sense?
But aren't we so glad that he keeps knocking?
Yeah.
I mean,
and there's just so much more out there.
Yeah.
The field is big. That field. That field, that word. Look at what we're doing right now. Look at all the questions that are coming out of this. This is a parable that we have seen before. Have we ever drilled down? I know I've never drilled down into this parable like this to ask these kind of questions or whatever. And some of the questions that we're asking are foundational type questions that are coming out of this. All right. But we need to hear them again so that we're...
We have to keep hearing it to understand it at different levels for where we are in our own maturity so that we can share it easier.
It is the washing. How are we washed? Through the word. And it's the washing of the word. And why do we need to be washed?
Because we're dirty.
Because we pick up stuff. And Jesus didn't tell him that he had to wash everything. Peter said, hey, wash my whole head. No, I don't need to just wash your feet because you've been walking some certain places or whatever. Now you're trying to track that stuff all in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Wash your feet.
Mm, that's good.
How do I wash my feet? Go over here and you stand by the burning bush and you take your shoes off. Wash your feet. And then you come back over here and see what God has for you to do. So I just wanted to review... that because I thought it was so interesting, and it is changing and impacting me. Are there any other questions?
Yeah.
Well, I'd just like to make one point. Spiritually speaking, a treasure is not valuable unless you use it.
Okay, so now we go back there.
It's valuable regardless, but it's not going to bear fruit unless we take it.
That's good,
right? Well, I don't want to say not valuable. I like that. So not treasure, yeah, not beneficial. Good. Let's say beneficial. If not
used
correctly. Okay.
We need to see the class. Just put the screen down a little bit.
Oh.
Look forward. That's good. Thank you.
Oh, you're looking at my butt.
That wasn't the treasure.
Try. I know. Try to be nice. Gave mercy. Yeah. All right.
I grew up in a home and an atmosphere where the treasure was there.
Okay.
But I never picked it up for myself.
Gotcha.
Until I went on my own and made the transaction, and I got the treasure that I had seen all my life in the field.
And who spoke to you to cause you to do that?
The Holy Spirit.
Okay.
I got down in my bathroom by myself on my knees, turned on the bathroom fan so Jimmy couldn't hear me, and said, I need you like my parents have you.
So you got to make the determination when is the Spirit that's prompting you or whatever. Because God pursues us. All right? He pursues us. And when he pursues us, then we kind of figure out. But see, I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit because the Spirit was still kind of dead. But somebody gave me a word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when I got the word, because I was in need, that cloud, that pillar, starts to get ignited. And then something different happens inside of me.
Well, sometimes he sends a purse of somebody. Sometimes he sends you to a church, but sometimes it's just you and him. I mean,
yep.
I went for a couple of years making sure, was that when I got saved, God?
Right.
Was that when you came into me? And he affirmed to me that was definitely me and him that night.
So let's be careful, because let me ask this question. Are there people out there who have picked up the treasure, but they picked it up the wrong way because they have never made the transaction to really own it and for him to really own them?
Yes.
And that's what we talked about at the prison day. And they were like, how do you do that? How does that happen? How do you do that?
People walk around with a whole lot of head knowledge of God, and they say all the right stuff and they actually do all the right things, but they've never actually received Jesus in their heart to be Lord of their life.
And what do you have to do that?
Humble yourself. And tell him you need him.
Can't use the treasure appropriately until you've gone through the steps. I'm humble. I'm repenting. I got head knowledge of Jesus, but I went to church. I didn't go to church because I want him to change my life. That's what people do. I want him to justify what I was doing. I was doing something wrong. I'm like, I don't want people to think that I'm a bad guy. So let me do that. Hey, when I was single, I'm looking for a girlfriend.
Why do people go to church for business related?
Hey, I need the connection. I need, you know, Christians got a little money. Blue Cross Klan is a Christian organization.
So they say.
Anybody, it doesn't matter. You can pick this up, and it's the head knowledge, and you got a treasure, but you're not using it the right way.
Anybody can use the jargon, as I
say. Oh, and that will lead us to our next parable. Ooh, I'm writing that down.
And do we really know what they mean?
Christianese, that's what I call it, you know?
Christianese. We can do anything we want to use the Bible to justify whatever the heck we want to justify. But if you don't go... Okay. So, so let's move on, because that was review. Oh, what the heck is this? Okay, I'm going to have to look at that later. What is this? I've been looking for this. That's where it is. Okay. I've been looking for that. I knew it was somewhere. Okay, here we go. We already did the application. Okay, here we go. We finished that parable.
Amen. Sure.
Until
next time.
Well, here you go. Back to Roger, because he's saving my butt. All right. The field is a big field. It's a big field. I'm still amazed at the depth and the breadth of this field. We are talking about a parable that we have all heard before. And I still don't think we've covered everything that we could on this parable. And we're getting some really good questions on what this all this means. And I can't tell you that I've got a monopoly and that I'm exact on the whole transaction thing. But from my perspective, it's working for me. Work out your own salvation. Take this and figure out, hey, you know, it doesn't have to be so dogmatic. It is... What does this parable mean for me, and what does God want me to do with this?
To me, this parable is a foundational parable.
The whole Bible is about Jesus Christ,
exactly.
The plan of God, those seven steps. Just, I am blown away at the I love the Old Testament symbolism that says there's this river that comes out of Jerusalem, and it's so small that you can step over. But then it flows down, and when it gets to the bottom, it's an immense body of water that you can't get over. And that's how this gospel in the kingdom is. You can get as deep as you want. I can find that Old Testament scripture that points out to, I think it's in Isaiah or whatever, that points out there's a river that's flowing from the kingdom. All right. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. All right? Not a whole lot here. It's really pretty much the same parable as before, just a little different. All right? I think what happened is I think I worked the other parable so much I kind of already hit this one, you know. So that's where we are. I've got some notes there. But I think some of the things that I like here is this parable is similar to the parable of the treasure in the field. And it's great. And here's the thing I like about this. If you can imagine being in the prison today and telling them, when you look at this from God's perspective, do you know how valuable you are? Do you really understand what John 3:16 means now? And then they said this. One of them said, Jesus put off all of this glory that he had in heaven. Think about that. Jesus put off all of this glory that he had in heaven. Because he saw us as more valuable. Wow.
He sold all that he had and bought it. That's what Jesus did.
Because we're that kind of treasure. Never think that God is against you and not for you. When you belong to him and you've picked this treasure up the right way. Okay. Some other notes here. There's nothing more valuable in life than the pursuit of the kingdom. nothing more valuable in life than the pursuit of the kingdom. It's still a process. All right. Again, I got these different commentaries. That have, you know, one commentary says that Jesus is the buyer and we're the precious pearl. I like my Matthew Henry commentary that says all the children of men are busy seeking godly pearls, or goodly pearls or whatever. Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price. In the Jesus perspective, we're that pearl of great price. It's just a matter of your perspective. Okay? Perspective and process are the key words that are coming out of this for me. Alright? Alright. Let me see if I had any other notes out of this that were outstanding before we get to Matthew chapter 15. Alright. I got some quick notes here. I really think, in hindsight now, that the first parable about the treasure is about our relationship with God and His perspective and our personal perspective. I really think this one is more in line with others being the treasure and that world being the field. And I think we just kind of lumped it all into that one because these parables are very similar. But I'm kind of looking at this one like phase two. Phase one, our relationship with God. Phase two, how we bless and minister to others. They're pearls. And we may look at people and say, you're just so crooked and evil. I don't really see you like God might see you, and so I don't feel like reaching out to you. And I think everybody's got their assigned people or whatever. Everybody's not for everybody. But somebody... He died for them too, which is amazing. All right. All right. And the last thing is Jesus sees us as so valuable. We should not then discount our own value. We are important to the kingdom. And I don't care how many gray hairs you got in your head. You are still mighty important to the kingdom because while technology changes, the things of the world do not. Still got to deal with stuff. All right, let me give you an example. I don't know if this is a good example or not. So I'm driving my car from Arkansas as soon as we got out of Bible study last week. It starts raining cats and dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Still in Arkansas. You can spend about a good 4 to 6 hours driving across Arkansas. Not quite as bad as Texas, but, you know. So driving, still got a good ways to go, I-40. I'm following at a safe distance, road, weather. All of a sudden, the car in front of me, brake lights start popping up. I'm like, okay, no problem. I got plenty of distance. And then it just stops. And I'm like, now I'm braking. And I'm talking out loud. We got a problem. Because as I'm starting to slam on the brakes, starting to glide a little bit. So I got to get off the brake. Now I got to pump it. But I'm getting close to this car. And I'm thinking in my mind, we got a problem because I might hit this car. And if I hit this car, because, you know, when you're trying to get back home, all you're trying to do is get back home. You're trying to make good time, you know, trying to get in, you know. And I'm like, if I hit this car, I am not going to get home when I think I need to get home. We're going to be stranded on the side of a two-lane road with all this stuff. We're going to be backing up traffic or whatever. Then I got to wait for somebody to come out here in the middle of this thing. I'm going to drive a rainstorm. I'm going to do damage. It's going to be my fault. I'm going to do damage to the back of this car. I'm going to do damage to my car. My Benz is going to be in Arkansas someplace. I'm not going to be able to get back home. And I'm driving. We got a problem. They've got cars behind me. I could be the catalyst for something just really
bad.
Bad.
He said, like mayhem.
not cry out for mama, but I was crying out. I'm like, you know, I just got her, but I got problems. Got problem.
Yeah. Well, my quick prayer, I don't even go for all that.
Yeah.
God help.
Yeah, that's it.
God help. God help.
I couldn't get the God out of there. Maybe I spent all the God at the Bible study that morning, but I was like, got a problem. We got a problem. And I got right up on this car, and all of a sudden, I'm like, another car shot by me in the right, because I'm in the left lane. Another car shot by me in the right, and I moved over to the right, and there was nothing else coming.
Ooh.
And problem averted. And I'm like, God is good. We're still moving. We're going to make our time. This is great. This could have been terrible. Get all the way around Mississippi. Driving around. We're doing good. Got down to about Birmingham, whatever. Looked at my windshield.
Yeah, correct.
And it's one of them little bullet hole things. It didn't go on a little bit. And I'm like, man,
that happens.
This is, I know what happens. But it shouldn't be happening to me. I've had a good Bible study. My daughter's been Bible study. We're doing all this. We've got this all in. Now I got this bullet hole. And you know how it is when you first see something that yeah. wasn't there before. I'm looking at it the whole time. And I'm fussing and complaining. Now I got to go get safe light. Well, this crack might go across the thing, whatever.
He forgot about that, didn't he?
But you got precious cargo in the car with you.
Yeah, well, I'll miss the point. You driving in the left lane. Why aren't you in the right lane?
Get it, Roger. I hate it when they do it in the left lane.
I was going fast. I didn't ask them to slow the left lane. I'm trying to get home. So, what do I got to do? Where am I?
Brad,
you ain't on the chart number.
You're in the wrong lane.
You're back in your own lane.
So I go to step one.
Yeah.
I go to step one. I go to step one. I go to step one. Do I need them?
Yes.
Because this bullet hole in my windshield is bothering me to the degree that is his treasure greater than my issue. So I need him. What do I need to do next?
Repent.
I need to repent. I need to change my mind about all this complaining and fussing about this little and bury this. What's next?
Yeah, hope.
Hope. Hope that God. Hope that God is with me, not against me. And then, as I started going through the steps, it hit. Dummy. I just brought you through something that would have been catastrophic.
Yeah.
You were just praising me for avoiding something that should have happened and didn't happen.
And then this little thing bit you off.
And this little thing now that pales in comparison to what could have happened is now got you so upset you forgot the blessings. And so the hope returned when I repented, because I'm like, God, now I see once again that you are always with me. And I'm focusing so much on the bullet hole that I missed that you delivered me from something that was worse than that. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just came in. And do you know what? I don't notice the hole that's still there. It's not keeping me from driving, not keeping me from doing what I need to do. And then what's the next step? So today I go into the prison and I share this story with them. And I say, and they're giving me the same answers. Oh, you got to follow the steps, Brother Chuck. Oh, okay. Has anybody in here dealing with the little stuff? Is there anybody in here right now, guys, that's focused on the little stuff And you focus on this little thing so much that you have missed the goodness and the greatness of what God has for you and what he has done for you and what he still has in front of you. Has anybody missed that? And I'm like, look at this treasure. Look at this example. Look at how these steps work. Look at how God gets ministered to. Look at what we're going through. Man, what a treasure. What a field. And the field is ripe. I can take my failure and give it to him for his glory. And now it's going to bless somebody. It might even bless somebody in this room. But not focusing on that small thing. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Absolutely. All right. So now we have finished two parables today. We're getting ready. We will pick up next week at Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 20, as we look at the parable of, what is that parable? The parable of, I didn't give it a name. It's the parable, nope, not the dragnet. It is the parable of the, it's the parable of Al.
Oh.
I did it.
Yeah, that's what mine said.
It's not what.
Thanks, Roger.
It's not what goes in a man that defiles him. But it's the aisle that comes out of it.
This is going to take a long time.
Like a dragon.
Hey, it works both ways.
Man, I love you guys. Thank you so much for your support. Good to see everybody here. Good to see everybody on Facebook. Let me pray for you. I hope that this has helped somebody as much as it has helped me. There is nothing more important that I'm holding on to than that treasure. And let me just share this because I put it in my notes. And thank you because you just taught some of the men. I'm going to take some of these notes, Christianese and all the rest of that stuff. But I wrote this down as a note. Don't pick up things that get in the way of his reign. Don't pick up things that get in the way of his reign. My wife, our anniversary was Thursday.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
No. Oh, 34, I think. So she goes, hey, I got this. I know what I'm going to do. I want to spend all day long with you. I know. I want to spend all day long with you on an anniversary. I'm like, okay, cool. No telephones, no computers.
You said that to her?
No, she said that to me. You know better than that. Come on, Sandra, you know better than that. All right. I don't know where I was going with that because I can't. I want it. Oh, there it is. I'm not. It's not letting me do what I wanted to do here. Oh, stop the share. Okay, here we go. So, I work on Thursdays. I got a big meeting on Thursday. I said, hey, I got a meeting on Thursday. Yeah, we can do that. I can set off the phone and everything. And we'll have, I just got to do this meeting at noon. And she goes, you didn't put in for vacation?
Whoa.
I'm like, well, you forgot, didn't you? I said, no, I didn't forget. I knew it was, I just thought that I could do this meeting. I mean, you know, what's 24 hours? 23 is good. You didn't even put in for vacation. I'm like, well, let me just go on and put in for vacation now. Oh, no, you didn't. I'm like, you know what? I'm starting to get upset. I'm an afterthought. You're not an afterthought. How come I can't repent with you? How come I can't just put in the vacation today? Because I didn't put in the vacation last week? Because things ain't happening the way you want to happen? And I'm ready to make it. So, you know, I know. Want me to call her back in? Yeah. So she's like, well, I don't want to talk about it right now. I'm not through. I'm just getting started.
You are. You're too young to have television.
Been talking about
y'all. Still sleeping
on the couch. So, no, she sleeps wherever. Now, anyway, I don't
want to
go.
No.
So she comes back a few hours later and she goes, we can ride the motorcycles and all the rest of this stuff or whatever, you know. And I'm like, okay, so I guess everything's okay. I just gave it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, you deal with this. I'm not dealing with this. You deal with this. And she came back, and she's just as nice, and we had such a wonderful day. But there was something that was still sticking in my craw. I asked the Lord to get me out of this and bless in there. And he did. He answered the prayer. Have you ever been in that situation where God answers your prayer, and you're still just kind of fussing?
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking about this lesson. Is what you're holding on to, the anger, the pride, the fact that you got to adjust your day for your wife, is what you're holding on to more important than the treasure? So I had to go back to the store. I had to be quiet, Sandra. I had to go back and make a transaction and turn that in, because everything I have with him is greater than what I'm holding on to. I don't want what I'm holding on to or what just happened to me to interfere with the reign of God in my life.
Jesus told Peter,